Hey everybody, it's JR. I just want to talk to you a little bit today about something that happened to me the other day. And Dave asked me if I'd tell you about it, just because it kind of changed my life. I think it'll change your life. It changed his life. Changed my aunt's life. Changed everybody's life. So I was down at my cousin Skeeter's shop the other day, and I walked in there and I was trying to steal a couple parts because my Ford ain't working right. And Skeeter walked in. He didn't know what I was doing because Skeeter's kind of stupid. And he was like, "Hey, bud, I got something I need to tell you. Why don't you take a seat right there?" I had a seat right there. He said, "I want to tell you about something that I found out today. If you haven't heard about it, I think it's right time you did." He said, "It's called Anchor, and it's the easiest way imaginable to make a podcast." And I was like, "Skeeter, all right, well, you have my curiosity, you got my attention, bud." So he said, "Well, let me talk to you about it." He said, "It's free. There's creation tools on it. They allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or your computer. And it'll distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, on Apple Podcast, many other things, many more platforms. You can make money from your podcast, no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place." And I started thinking about it, and I ain't never heard Skeeter say none of these words before. So obviously it took to him pretty well. It must be pretty important to him. So I just want to come on here and tell you that you should download Anchor today. And, you know, just do with it what you want to do, man. Just have a good time with it. My cousin Skeeter's making a podcast now. And he just is just having time of his life with it. And, you know, I keep stealing his parts, but he's making money from Anchor, and it kind of offsets it all, so he can keep living, and he can feed his kids and his family and all that stuff right there. So download Anchor today, and maybe you can be, you know, the next Skeeter. I don't know.
Following total atomic annihilation, the rebuilding of this great nation of ours may fall to you. That's why we here at Vault Boys WB will take you on an oral tour of the beautiful state of West Virginia. There's no other place to be better prepared for the impending fallout. Now we go live to our team of experts.
Hello, and welcome to yet another week with Vault Boys WV, a mutated podcast crossbreeding our shared history in Appalachia with a post-apocalyptic state in Fallout 76. I am your country road scholar, Dave Chavins, and joining me is my favorite son of a Mothman, Austin O'Connor. How you doing?
I liked that. I liked the breaks,
the pacing.
Breeding, yeah. Our shared history in Appalachia.
Unfortunately,
get your peanuts here.
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't do the accent that I have in the like musical intro. Because that would just get annoying, and then people
just
be
like a continuous.
Without the like that background music, then I would sound like a complete idiot if I don't already.
Sound like you say "Sunny Boy" a lot.
How you doing, Sunny Boy?
How you doing, Sunny Boy?
Why don't you give that person a fair shake once in a while?
A fair shake. I like that. We should just always. Why? When did we? I just want to know, when did that accent go away? Like was it ever really a thing, or is that just a movie thing?
It's got to be like a European descent, northeastern kind of.
Was it like Boston? Was it like New York? Like, I don't understand what it was, but I want to know.
Boston. It might have been New York, but I mean, it got prevalent in L.A. as well.
Really, like the old movies.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
I just want to know, like, at what point did it just die? Was there a day that people that talked like that were like, you know what, we probably should quit talking like this? And then they were just like, all right, well, Bill, have a great, like,
maybe it fell out of the cultural norms and
I don't know. You know. I wish it would come back, though.
And it's like, maybe it's popularized, and I don't know, I haven't done my, I will say that I've not done my research on this, on the particular voice, yeah. But, like, maybe it was popular, like, you know how that announcer guy, I think he's dead now, that used to do, I'm serious, I think he's dead.
I don't know why that was funny to me.
In a world caught up. In the devastation
in a world
of the apocalypse, nobody does any movie adverts like that anymore.
Spilled coffee, a little drop right here.
on my nice. Let me tell you something. There are some Amish folks in Ohio that made that chair that you're sitting in with their hands. I'm not kidding you.
I believe it. We have some of these at my house too.
Yeah. And you have put coffee on It's this gone. Crafted?
Listen, this is how much I love you. I used my own shirt to wipe it off.
Look at you.
This is an L.L. Bean, a 1993 model L.L. Bean. I'm just kidding. I don't know when I got this. But look, there we go. We're both drinking coffee today too, aren't we?
Yeah. So mine's gotten lukewarm. I'm drinking. Yeah,
I made mine. I'm like right when before I headed over here.
Yeah.
That's well, how you know that either one, it's really it is cold. But two, I think that we're both probably wearing down from like the holiday crap going on.
I have been busy nonstop every day. There is something going on, yeah. Which is why. And let me make before we even ask you how your week is going.
Yes.
Let me make this announcement real quick, okay. Just so everybody's clear. I want you to put down whatever you're doing and listen to the words that I'm saying. There will be no podcast next week. I know. We're all going to have to move past it. We're all going to have to get to it. But the week after, we'll be back.
It's Christmas time.
It's Christmas time. Here's the thing. I'm not going to be here pretty much most of next week.
I'll be here for 2 days next week.
I think I'm 2 days next week, too.
And then I'm assuming, are you going to Bluefield and Blacksburg?
Yeah, Bluefield and Blacksburg, yeah.
I'm going to Bluefield and Charlotte,
yeah.
And then I come back for 2 days, mm-hmm. And then I'm going to Richmond. So it's right. Like, I think that's why I'm so stressed out. Maybe that's why I have all these
migraines. Well, we just finished up Christmas cards. So Christmas cards are a big deal. And this year we did it so late. And my Christmas cards are interesting because sometimes, like last year, I got real creative with them and I just started drawing stuff.
Yeah.
Just like the corner, like I would draw like the corner of a room and be like, here's the corner of my house. Merry Christmas.
Well, I thought about doing like a selfie. Like I was at that Panthers game on the field. And one of my friends took a picture I almost took her idea. She took a selfie with one of like their star players, and the player wasn't even looking like this. He was way back, you know, 15 feet behind her doing something. She took a selfie and made that her Christmas card. And it was like, Merry Christmas from Anna and Luke, and like decorated everything.
Yeah.
I almost did something kind of like silly like that. But
here's what you should have done. I'm just being flat out honest with you. You should have gotten a screen cap of the ESPN clip that you showed up in where you were right beside Cam Newton.
Yeah.
And you should have been like, Merry Christmas from Austin and Cam.
Like, just like the screenshot straight from ESPN.
It was like with the, like the bars underneath and everything and just like, you know.
Like the score of like the Wizards game or whatever at the bottom.
Yeah, whatever. Like,
hey, it's never too late.
Get a little Christmas hat sticker and put it on you and Cam. You know, just
I like it.
That's good.
I think that's a great idea. I wish I would have thought of that sooner because now I have like just a few days to work with. But
yeah, I don't think you're gonna be able to get it out. We just finished up our Christmas shopping here recently. It's all because we took that trip to New York and it was a lot of fun. But then it was like everything around it kind of bunched up, and then everything after it's kind of bunched up too. And so it's like I'm kind of excited to get to the holidays so I can actually like enjoy the things that I'm planning for.
Right. You know? I think I'm always the most stressed the 2 weeks before Christmas. And then as soon as it's like Christmas Eve, I'm fine. But I still have a few people I need to shop for, which I typically do that.
Yeah.
Like, because Bluefield is such an easy city to, even on like the busiest day, to get around and go if you need to go shopping really quick.
Yeah. There's no.
Yeah. It's like there's the mall, but even then when it's busy, it's like the mall here is on a normal day.
Right.
Like it's
the worst time to go, in my opinion, is on Sunday afternoons because that's when all the old people are out driving.
Walking to.
Well, yeah.
Walking the mall.
Well, it's like the only time. Well, walking the mall. That's
you mean
like
on the road, though?
That's like every morning. But on the road, getting anywhere on Sunday mornings and afternoons, it's impossible because everybody's driving at 25 and the 55.
In the left lane.
Yeah. And so I think that you'll be fine getting through. Although, I don't know what you're going to buy because Mercer Mall doesn't have much of anything.
Not a ton.
They lost, didn't they lose Dixie Pottery or whatever that store was?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
It's probably.
Here's the thing, though. I was there for Black Friday, and it wasn't bad, surprisingly. I hadn't been there in a while.
What do you mean it wasn't bad?
There were like, some of the stores were starting to get filled again, like the empty stores.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually was, I mean, there were a lot of people there. Their food court is actually getting better again. So yeah. I don't know. They paved the parking lot finally, so that's good.
I'm interested because the mall in downtown Charleston is kind of like everybody's leaving. Taco Bell. Yeah. Taco Bell at the food court is gone. Taco Bell never leaves.
You never see a Taco Bell close. No. I don't know if I've ever, like, ever seen a Taco Bell close.
They're gone. The mall is in. We went to go get one of our Selena's wedding ring inspected.
Yeah,
we have like inspection dates with that, and it's like a Zales. Uh-huh. And you know, like jewelry stores and malls, they never freaking close. Zales was closed.
That's weird. I wonder what's going on.
I don't know. Well, it's interesting because Selena had to go to the one in Barbersville, which is outside of Huntington, mm-hmm. and it was like packed in full stores.
That one, the Barbersville mall is
like
always doing well.
Yeah.
Every time I'm there, there's like a new store popping mm-hmm. up. So they just built on to the Dick's Sporting Goods, like a whole new like Field and Stream and all this stuff on the back and building mm-hmm. restaurants. So, which like Barbersville, I had this thought last time I was there. This is like way off topic. And then after this,
you're fine. Well, we always get off topic.
Yeah. But Barbersville is like it's near Huntington, which obviously with Marshall University and everything is like such a big area.
What university?
Marshall
University.
We are Marshall. With Marshall University, and then sort of like between Huntington and Charleston is just sort of this weird area of if you're in between, you're like, okay, like, should we go to Charleston for this or should we go to Huntington for this? Because, like, both, you're just sort of like.
Well, I lived in Crosslands, and to me, it's like, it was a pain to get anywhere. That's why I personally did not like living in that area because mm-hmm. it was like, I couldn't get to anything.
Traffic is rough there.
And it's not just traffic. It was just like, what could you go and do?
Yeah. You had to either come into Charleston and that's the thing. Like there's so many residential areas between Huntington and Charleston and not really any like, you know, cities.
Right.
There's like a few restaurants and stuff, but mm-hmm. I think a lot of people, if once you get past Taze Valley, I think mm-hmm. everyone from like Taze Valley on probably more so chooses Huntington and Barbersville to go to. So Barbersville has that whole area from like there mm-hmm. to almost to Charleston. Mm-hmm. You've got Huntington. You've got across the river in Ohio. You've got near Ashland with Kentucky because they have a smaller mall that's all right, but they're mm-hmm. going to mostly want to go there.
Right.
You've got Wayne County. You've got some of Logan County. You've got Lincoln County. Mm-hmm. All of these people want to go to that one mall.
Yeah.
And to this one area in Barbersville. So it is, last time I was there, I mean, to get from the mall to the interstate, which like you could almost throw a football and hit it. Like it took me like 15 minutes just to get out of that because there are so many people that go there. So that, I mean, I think that that's why that mall is doing so well because there's so many people that have, that's the mall they have.
See, that's one of my theories about why Huntington is not included in the game is because in between John Amos and Huntington, it's boring. mm-hmm. It's like not.
Yeah,
it's
just residential. It's stuff. Like residential you have Blinko Glass, which is like it's pretty cool, mm-hmm. and they do tours and stuff there. Mm-hmm. And then other than that, you have to really get off the interstate to find things to do.
You have to like go like out to Point Pleasant, or
right? There's nothing really like super close to the interstate.
Yeah,
so it is a more just sort of like residential, very basic drive. And I would, I would think that maybe that was a thought of theirs.
Yeah. I don't know. It's
tough to tell. Or maybe like we've said before.
Every Huntingtonian, as I call them. is that what you call them, Huntingtonians?
We call them, sometimes we call ourselves Gems of the Jewel City or.
Oh my God. Let me barf in a bag real quick. Gems of the Jewel City. That's like.
Is this the king of dad jokes clowning me for telling a dad joke?
Well, what do you live here? What do you want me to call you here? Like a River City Jazz Cat? Like
a Chuck City Bitty, dog.
Chuck City Bitty.
A Chuck City Bitty. What are you talking about?
What is that? Who, did you
only
come
the
up
real
with this?
Ones know, man.
Is this like something on like, what do young kids use now? Yik Yak? Vine? What are they?
All the real ones know, man.
Chuck City. Say that again.
A Chuck City Bitty.
A Chuck City Bitty. Oh my gosh. Well, with that, we'll get into our next segment. All right, so Austin, this week, there's actually, as we're recording this podcast, this very podcast, in this moment, there is no Inside the Vault this week. Bethesda has not released that. I think they're postponing their update for later on this week. I am unsure. I am giving you the most up-to-date information as of Tuesday at, what time is it? What is it, like 7 o'clock? 6 o'clock?
I don't know.
5 o'clock? 5:17.
5:17.
Tuesday at 5:17, I have no information, and I have not looked at Twitter
in the past
30 minutes. So we are sorry if we have missed an update. And
Watch it if like came out at like 5:16.
Let me tell you what I hope. Let me tell you things that I hope.
Okay.
There's a damage bug. My gun that heals the things. You remember?
I saw that with my own eyes. And
I hope that they patch that. So if they do patch that, if there's like specific information in there, they patch that. Remember me. Mm-hmm. Or the rest of you suffering for this, remember me and be like, man, that's the stuff right there.
You crawled so everyone else could walk.
Right. That's what I hope.
Yeah.
That's number one.
Yeah.
So, Austin, this week, we played the new update where they went through and changed the camp system and did a few tweaks here and there. First of all, it started with this legendary hunting, where people are essentially going to zones that they have nuked within the game, are finding numbered star legendary enemies. It seems like that it doesn't matter what star. I have picked up a 3-star weapon from a 1-star enemy. Mm-hmm. I've picked up a 1-star weapon from a 3-star enemy. Mm-hmm. I am unsure what the randomization, what those statistics are like. Not the person to go to.
Everything is made up and nothing matters.
Exactly.
What was the whose line is it anyway?
Where everything's made up and the points don't matter.
Yeah. So it's like
your points
cares?
Don't matter. Yeah, that's right. So I have procured not only my original weapon that heals people. I have gotten 2 new melee weapons from this farming that my friend was doing.
Can I ask you a question about that weapon?
Yes.
Have you tried to like do PvP and see if it will like actually heal someone else? Like,
I would say so, because I think that there's a limit, and I think that it's like a server based thing where it's like they have marked that I am now doing too much damage, therefore I can't be doing that amount of damage.
I wonder, like, if you were roaming around with someone and they were like about to die, if you just started lighting them up, if it would like heal them, like that would be.
There's a perk for in the charisma line for if you use any flame damage that you cause on a person heals them instead. So if you have a flamethrower or you throw a Molotov cocktail, that will heal things instead. So I know you can do like that. That's a feature.
That's a possible thing.
That's within the game. I don't know if I would be able to actually heal anybody with my bug gun.
We should try that though.
So I ended up getting 2 new weapons. One was like a baseball bat that was instigating. What instigating means is that it does double damage at full health. And so it's a level 50 baseball bat. So essentially if I'm not in the cranberry bog or not fighting a scorch beast, I can just like one shot everything. I'm just like, you're down, you're down, you're down.
Well, that's a good thing
have. And then I got a furious Gronak the Barbarian axe.
Ooh.
And so I've got a big old axe that has 2 effects on it. One, 40% more damage when power attacking.
Oh, I like that.
And then the more that I attack an enemy because of the furious effect, the more that I attack an enemy, the more damage the axe does. So every consecutive hit does more damage.
Ooh.
So what I can't kill with my baseball bat, I can kill with my axe.
I'm like irrationally happy about that for you. Like that's exciting.
It was a good find. But one of the main things. Mm-hmm. So Austin, I have done several iterations of camps. You've seen a few. You saw my first one.
Yes.
That I made in Charleston. Was like I was trying to make my house. And
that was
then,
when I was Flash and I was running around.
Yeah. You got the speed demon mutation. Tried to make my house.
Yes.
And I was like, okay. Wanted to do something different. Mm-hmm. Ended up making my house 2.0.
Yeah.
Which was a better realized version of my house. The only problem was the area that I located in, it spawned against a Deathclaw. And so I had to put missile turrets up because the Deathclaw would come and fight it all the time. Mm-hmm. And then I realized that camps, here's the thing. I've come to this, like, it's like this empathetic, life-changing methodology of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Some may even call it a social movement.
Okay.
The camps aren't for you.
Right.
Camps are for other people.
Mm-hmm.
To use.
Mm.
To come to and be like, look at this nice person mm-hmm. that made this camp, that has made this, like, I was lost, and then mm-hmm. I found this camp.
Yeah.
And then everything helped me.
Look at God. Won't he do it? Like, that type of moment. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Praise be.
So my first iteration, I built a barn
okay.
that had a music hall in it. And I was like, oh, they can come.
Mm-hmm.
And it had all the, like, the workbenches.
You do it for the people.
Do it for the people. Yeah. And I was like, oh, let's make, like, a musical barn in it. The only problem was that's when I was taming my scorch beasts. And they all three collectively
they just
obliterated it.
They played.
They literally, it was just the frame. It was like after a house fire, you come back to the ashes of the house. And you were like, what is my life? Second, and this is before the update, mm-hmm. I made a fort that was in the cranberry bog still.
Yeah.
Far away enough from everything that had a lot of water purifiers, but it's kind of like yeah. an open-ended fort. So it was like rectangular, four corners had little towers.
Mm-hmm.
You go and do everything. And so it was like, okay, it's like a nice, safe place for people to be.
Yeah.
I was like, okay.
It's a sanctuary.
Then later on, I was like, okay, well, I'm going to go look at a few areas. I found this cave. I ended up showing you this cave.
Yeah,
I was like, I'm going to build around this cave. The only problem was there was a scorch beast that spawned every time. Near this cave that I wanted to build. So I was like,
wow.
what can I do?
You're just having a lot of trouble with scorch beasts.
What can I do? Yeah. Well, I think everybody in Appalachia is having a lot of trouble with scorch beasts.
Not me, dude. I'd knock those things out of the sky.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah?
No.
Have you killed a scorch beast?
I don't want to talk about
it. Oh, all right. So.
Go on with the chlorophyll. Like, proceed.
Proceed. I like it. So I decided, I was like, okay. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to build a camp, and it's going to be a restaurant.
A restaurant.
So here's what I did. I went down. In between the mire and the cranberry bog, there's mm-hmm. this highway that runs through there.
Mm-hmm.
And in the interchange between them both, there's a little bridge.
Yeah.
But near the bridge, there is a robotics facility on the left, and mm-hmm. then the General Steakhouse. As you're familiar with the General Steakhouse. Do you know the General Steakhouse?
Yeah, delicious who doesn't know the steak. General Steakhouse?
Lots of super mutants.
Yeah, everybody.
Everybody knows. Yeah. Everybody knows General Steakhouse.
Everybody knows about that.
So I built this base.
Uh-huh.
And on top of the bridge. So like the road ends. Like the you cannot stay on the road and not go through my base. So if you were on the road, you were going to run into my base.
Right.
It is a diner. It has a bar uh-huh. with the little, like, circle stools and little tables and a jukebox and, like, posters on the wall. And, like, it is a classic diner-esque area. In the back, it's got, like, it's like a smaller area with workshops. So I built this thing. The only problem is General Steakhouse, bunch of super mutants. So in the back, I put up these gigantic defensive walls. So from the back, it looks like a fortress. From the front, it's like... The little diner.
It's like party in the front, business in the back.
Party in the front, business in
it's
the back.
It's a reverse mullet of a base.
Yes.
Okay.
So.
I like that, man.
What I've been doing, so I built this diner. I have spec'd my character and have gotten pretty good mm-hmm. at not only figuring out what food is necessarily good outside mm-hmm. of cannibalism.
Yeah.
But also,
I'm glad that you're coming to terms and you're trying to work on yourself.
No, you just wait.
Oh god, you just wait. Yeah, let's hear it.
I've gotten pretty good at cooking and understanding the food system within the game and what this is. So here's what I've been doing.
Oh no,
I'll see somebody out in the world.
Oh no,
and I'll like help them with something, and I'll be like, "Hey, come follow me."
Oh god, Dave.
And so I'll invite them to my team, and I'm not talking to them whatsoever.
You're just using the emotes.
I'm just using the emotes. I'm like, follow me, and I'm in a team. And I'll teleport to my camp, and they'll teleport too, and I'll just be behind the bar. And I'll do the little cooking emote.
Oh, God. This sounds terrifying.
And then I'll go to trade with them, and then I sell them food for, like,
some random amount, like 5 or 6 caps or whatever.
Yeah.
I have just been collectively luring people to my lair restaurant to sell them food. And then like they eat it and then they leave. And that's been my whole shtick.
That's the saddest thing I've ever heard in my life.
What do you mean?
You're just like desperately luring people
to my restaurant. Yes. Well, how else are they going to get there? Because, you know, it's not like this like massive amount of people.
Has the health department checked out and given you a rating yet?
I mean, I have purified water. I'll let you know. Now, here's the thing. Menu items.
You don't have a lot.
Well, there are like some staples. And I'll tell you what my staples are.
Human hand, human foot.
So wait.
Okay. I love how you didn't say no to that. You just said wait.
I'm just wait.
Okay.
So, first thing, the high ticket item on the list is I have a selection and collection of Salisbury steaks that have been processed from the food processing center.
Yeah.
Now, if you get them from the food processing center, not only are they 25% food replenishment,
yeah,
they don't have any rats.
Okay.
You don't get any disease.
Right.
And they don't spoil.
Well, you've been eating literal humans in the game, so I don't know if like rats or I don't really know.
Here's the thing. That's like a high ticket item. If you're somebody that's like, I need some like emergency.
Someone
food.
Who hasn't like completely switched over to the dark side. To the cannibal side.
Somebody that's like out there, they're out in the world. They don't have anybody.
A pure soul.
They need something and they need it to not go bad. There's that.
Okay. That's okay. I'm with you.
The second most popular menu item. Mm-hmm. And frankly, the thing that is like the mainstay. This is like the Big Mac.
This is your staple item. Like this is it.
Yes. You ready? Mothman egg omelet. So what I do.
Oh, hold up. I'm processing what you just said. Okay.
All right. Go to Point Pleasant.
Hold on. I'm not ready yet. Okay. No. Yeah. You're okay. Go ahead.
Go to Point Pleasant.
Yeah.
And in front of the Mothman statue, there's these Mothman eggs, right? Yeah. Get these little Mothman eggs. If you look down there.
Don't ask me. I'm along for the ride right now, man.
They have these eggs. You can go collect these eggs and you can get a bunch of them. You can just get like, there used to be a glitch where you could get, if you had the green thumb perk, you could get like 2 eggs for 1.
Okay.
Go and get these eggs. All it takes to make a Mothman egg omelet is wood and an egg. Craft that. Guess how much that's worth with hard bargain?
How much?
36 caps. This is some good eating, my friend, and it is easy to make. Now just wait. Now we're going to talk about pricing here in a minute.
Oh,
the second other most popular item on the menu is cranberry pie.
That doesn't sound terrible.
All it is it's cranberries and wood. Make it together. You get, I think, 20% food, but also 5% more experience every hour.
Okay.
So it's like an experience boost.
Okay, I'm with you.
Now, those are the mainstays. So I'm those are my top 3 menu items, and I'm looking to expand. However,
yes,
I know that there are people like me
mm-hmm.
that may enjoy some... The taste of
just say it, just
human ish flesh
in the game. To clarify, in the game.
So what I'm doing is, you know, those super mutants. I have a sign that I'm gonna put up. It'll be like, cannibals, please retrieve your food out back. Best part about it is, every time you kill a super mutant, what do you get? Caps. So you get paid to eat food. At my restaurant, if you're a cannibal.
This is like on other podcasts when they do like subtle advertisements.
Yes.
Like, this segment has been brought to you by Dave's Restaurant.
Dave's Restaurant.
Get paid to eat food.
So here's the thing. First of all, pricing. I've got to work out pricing for these. I've got to have some set pricing. And I've got to factor in not only the like base cost of these... of these items, like what I would sell them for. I've got to factor in travel time.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to factor in that includes like, this is like involving fast travel. Mm-hmm. I've got to include like legwork and what that takes as well as the materials that it takes to make these. Fortunately, a lot of these are pretty easy.
You need to market too.
I'm going to get my Excel spreadsheets out and, monitor that, see what, you know, Todd Howard is taxing me. And then
the man's always trying to get you down.
He's always trying to get me down. So, this brings me to my next thing, is what I'm going to name it. So yeah. I've taken it down to two options. It is either the squat and gobble.
I'm terrified to hear what the next name is after the first name.
Well, you got the squat and gobble. So the squat and gobble is a reference to a restaurant in Bluffton, South Carolina, outside of Hilton Head. There's a diner there called the squat and gobble.
What a, like, obscure reference. Like, you just pulled that out of nowhere.
Go to Bluffton, South Carolina, eat at the squat and gobble. People know the squat and gobble.
You all heard it here first, folks.
Go to the squat and gobble. So, then... second option. So you know that restaurant you go to Myrtle Beach and you think it's fun to take your friends there and it's like all kind of rude and crude?
Yeah.
You know, what is it called?
It's called Dick's Last Resort, I believe.
Yeah, so Dave's Last Resort. Because not only is it a play on words, it's right at the cusp of the first time you enter the Cranberry Bog. Like, that is the route.
Yes.
After my restaurant, it is all Scorch Beast.
Yeah.
For miles. It is Scorch Beast. So it literally is, this is your last stop. This is your last resort before you get out there to an area where you, sir, are screwed.
You're just helping, like I said, you do it for the people.
I do it for the people. So,
yeah.
This includes my next thing. I need to put signage up so that people know it's either the squat and gobble or Dave's. I'll make that decision. I'm not asking for input on the
Dave's
decision.
Squat and gobble last
resort. That is to the CEO and owner of this restaurant.
Right.
So, neon signs. Mm-hmm. Guess how much that plan costs.
How much?
11,000 caps.
For the
plan to make a neon sign. So I have been saving my caps. Yeah. To make neon signs.
Is it how many neon signs?
Oh, once you get the plan, you can make as many as you want.
Oh, okay. So
it's just like the letters, like, you know, like, yeah. A, B, C, D. And you write, yeah, like, spell
I'm
it out.
Still a camp novice. I'm not going to lie.
You didn't do settlements in four?
When did we talk about it? We talked about it like several episodes ago. And I was like, yeah, I need to get like work on camp and everything. Still haven't.
Seven worked on camp.
No.
Now, here's the thing. Once I get these signs, what I'm going to do,
mm-hmm,
and this is going to be unprecedented.
Yes.
This is the whole point,
yes,
of everything. I'm sending out a sign-up sheet to our listeners.
Uh-huh.
And on December the 28th, from the hours of 1 to 5, you can sign up, and I will come build neon signs for you at your camp on the PlayStation 4.
You are just a saint.
I'm in the Christmas spirit, my friend.
Yes.
Because nobody wants to go out and pay 11,000 caps. With Hard Bargain, it's 9,600 caps.
Yeah.
So that's my, like, I have rank 3 Hard Bargain, 9,600 caps.
Right.
By the 28th, I'm going to be able to get it.
Yeah.
I've already got my, I'm making Mothman egg omelets like freaking crazy.
You're just.
I'm going to.
Yeah.
It's like, well, I'm in the freaking omelet shop in Princeton. We're about to get dirty up in here. Anywho.
Oh, my God.
As well as, here's the deal. I'm going to do this neon sign. You're gonna get a survey. There's going to be a survey link. It will be in the description of this podcast. You can go sign up for your time. There will be limited spots, so don't expect. First come, first serve basis. It's all I can do.
Is the survey, am I excluded?
Yeah, I can. Anytime you want me to come build a, here's the thing.
I need it, dude.
Anytime you want that, I can come do that for you.
I need it.
Now, here's the thing. I am about to give a proposition to everybody. So I'm letting you in on what I would call the soft grand opening of whatever.
Soft opening.
The soft opening of whatever this restaurant is. So here's the situation. On PSN.
Yes.
Add me. Chafinz. That's Chafinz. Here's the deal. Most of the time, I don't have a mic. Most of the time, I can't hear you talk. I've got Christmas jazz playing in the background because for some reason they were like, let's not add a Christmas station and freaking Fallout.
This is, he doesn't, for everybody out there, he rarely talks to me.
Yeah. I am mostly on my laptop just because my life moves at a mile a minute. I am seeing everybody. Here's what you do. Add me on there. Know that I'm on there. If you were ever hungry in the world, fast travel to my location and throw up in front of me. there is an emote that everybody has to throw up. That will let me know that your belly is empty.
You're going to forget that you said all of
no,
this.
No, 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 no. I've worked this out. This is a working plan.
Yes.
You fast travel to me, and if you throw up in front of me, nobody's going to throw up in front of me except for people that know this.
Yeah.
I will then fast travel to my camp. You can come. I will make you a delicious meal. It'll be... I will charge you for the meal, of course, because this isn't like free.
It's a dog eat dog world, bro.
Like you've gotta pay for it. But I'll do that for you.
Ain't shit free.
So you can add me. Know that I'm probably not gonna. If you were saying stuff to me, I'm probably not. Unless I'm talking back to you.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna hear you. It's not gonna happen.
Very true.
Come over to me. Throw up. I'll take you to my camp. I'll be all excited. I'll make you some food.
Yeah.
I'll hand it to you. PSN. Chafinz. That's Chafins. Like, fins up, bros.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Jimmy Buffett.
Fins up.
Getting it together.
So, Chafins. Or, if you want to join me as well, and actually, I won't cook for you. I will, if you do join, I will expect you to give me something, actually.
See?
I expect, like, help, because right. I have not... I've not gotten to the point that Dave has gotten to with stability.
You just haven't thought of a business plan.
Yeah. So ultimately, like if you like, you don't have to, but like donations are appreciated.
Right.
So like you can, and I say this as if like I haven't been able to play that much the last few weeks, and I've gotten these requests of people to play, and I feel so bad because. I guess like I'm always online when I leave my PlayStation app open. Mm. So it shows that I'm online. So people will send me requests to play. Mm. I swear to God, I'm not ignoring you guys. I'm just typically not actually physically on my PlayStation when you send them.
Yes.
So don't think I'm ignoring you. If I'm online and you send me one, I will accept it. If I'm actually on my PlayStation.
Yes.
I've just been insanely busy lately. So
we're all insanely busy. Don't expect that you're going to get an immediate confirmation from me because it's Christmas week.
Yeah.
But I'm letting you know that this grand official statement
yes.
of intent. Here's the deal. Come up to me. Look at me. Throw up. I'm gonna be like, listen to me. This person.
I need to get that out. I don't know.
Listen to me.
Okay, I'm done.
This person needs food.
Yeah.
Go to my camp.
Okay.
Go to my camp.
That was just...
Make the food. We'll take a photo together because I gotta get my. You gotta get a selfie. Yeah. I'll put it up, and once we can put pictures in our camp, I'll like put it up on my wall. You know they do at restaurants, like you know you come in,
get like the booths, like the booth they sit in, like at gyms in Huntington. They have like where JFK sat in one of the booths. They have this picture there.
Yeah, that is exactly what is going to happen, and be on your merry way.
That's funny. So yeah, so say your gamer tag or your say your username again.
Chafins.
Spell it out.
Chafinz.
And then for me, Duke69Silver, Duke69Silver.
There's something wrong with you.
Why? Let's go to the next segment.
All right. All right, Austin. So this week we're changing it up here. Holiday episode. We're gonna change it up a little bit here. I'm gonna start with some reader mail.
Okay.
Hey guys, once again, love the podcast.
Thank you.
I love the histories and other information you guys give to us, a non-West Virginian peeps. You guys have covered bigger cities, I believe. However, I would love a little information on some of the non-cities in the game. Like the Landview Lighthouse, Top of the World, stuff like Kanawha Cemetery. As a non-West Virginian, these are actual locations.
Are these actual locations?
And is there any history behind them? Thanks, guys. Wonky.
Sorry to have hopped in there.
You're fine.
I read it the wrong way at first, and then I had to go back to.
I know, me too. So, Wonky, guess what? Your idea, your email, inspired us to create an episode all about roadside attractions that are featured in Fallout 76 and are real in West Virginia. So let me start off the list.
For some reason, I pictured like the bow, 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 like the air horns coming in right there when you said that it inspired us. Yep. I don't know why, but it just I don't know. Let's just keep going. I'm feeling extra just zany today.
You're just like a holiday spirit has made you all random and quirky. All right. So the first one I have is the giant teapot. So that's in the game. It has this little butler dude who's like making tea, and he got to do this event where you go through and you got to repair the water pipes if they break, and then he makes you tea. And then he's all like, hey, guess what? I can make you tea if you go find some honey. Guess where there's honey? Like a billion miles away, and you got to walk to go get the honey to bring it back. Well, in real life,
I would walk 500 miles and I would walk 500. All right.
All right. In real life.
I'm turning into you with these like cheesy references.
We're wearing off on each other, I tell you what.
Man.
In real life, there's the Chester teapot. Are you familiar with the Chester teapot? And on the paper I wrote, Chester teapot, teapot.
I didn't know. All right, this is bad because obviously big West Virginia, just right. fan in general of the state and lived here. Mm-hmm. I didn't know about it until this year.
Yes.
I was up in the Northern Panhandle and I think I saw a sign for it and I was like, what? And I looked it up and I had to like drive by and see it. But I
had no clue.
I had no idea. And now I see it everywhere.
So the Chester teapot is billed as the world's largest teapot, which measures 14 feet high and 14 feet in diameter.
And that's the T, sis. I saw that on Twitter.
Oh my God.
That's what the kids are saying on Twitter now. Spill the tea.
Oh my God. It was brought
coffee really got me going,
I know,
man.
You were like, you were on something today. You were like on some psycho or something coming in here. It was brought to Chester, West Virginia in the Northern Panhandle in 1938 to show off that the town at the time had the largest pottery industry in the world.
It's a weird flex, but okay. Saw that on Twitter too.
Oh my God. It was originally constructed as a Heyer's root beer sign in the shape of a large barrel. So they took this big barrel, and they were like, let's put a spout and a handle on it and paint it white and red.
Hey.
Guess what? Teapot.
Whatever gets the job done, I guess. I don't know.
Then guess what? The world's largest creamer was added right beside the pot. So if you go there, you can see the world's largest teapot, and then you can see the world's largest creamer.
Yeah. Hey.
The innuendo is there. You cannot enter the teapot, though, as it does not actually brew tea.
Wow.
So I'm sorry.
Hate to crush everyone's dreams, but...
And it's literally right off the interstate as you're going through, like, up near Wheeling in that area. Mm-hmm. It's literally, like, an off-interstate. Like, you get off the ramp, and it is right there. Yes. There's no, like, driving around. It is immediately it's there. Just, it is boom. A roadside...
Yeah. As roadside as it gets.
Right. Number two I have on my list here is the lighthouse. So you're familiar with the lighthouse. The lighthouse is where I've been trying to get the Mothman event to happen to me for like...
Every time I go, I just can't get the event to
It has been four happen. Weeks, Austin. Yeah. Every time I think about it, I'm like, let me go to the lighthouse, see if I can trigger it. Can't do it.
It happened to me one time, but I was letting someone else play who because they were like, oh, I want to try... They had never even played Fallout before.
Fallout. Yeah.
So like they didn't know. I was like trying to teach them how to play.
Yeah.
And when they played...
It happened.
It happened. But since that, I've gone back so and it just doesn't happen.
So here's the thing.
Isn't it ironic?
It was erected
I'm listening, man.
It was erected in 2012 on Mount Nebo, which is a funny little name for a mountain, near Somersville Lake, standing at 104 feet tall with a top elevation of 2,164 feet above sea level. Not that that's like particularly amazing because everything here... You know, West Virginia.
Yeah.
Is I forgot my joke. This whole section, guess what? This whole section, you know what we're going to do? We're going to be hitting the high spots. There's just a lot of high spots in West Virginia.
And you made fun of me.
I know.
For saying gem of the Jewel City.
Well, I'm still
shame.
I'm still on.
Shame.
Chuck City Itty Bitty or whatever.
Shame.
So here's the thing, Austin. The information that I was given about the lighthouse was not... I did not find. It was told to be my wife, Selena.
Selena has
she
all
found
the beats.
This out and wanted me to mention it. So a local wind farm developer was friends with Somersville Lake landowners and joked, like they were just sitting around, joked that they should build a wind turbine on their property but disguise it as something. So that's like a real funny joke. The contractor ended up accidentally damaging a turbine and decided to broker a deal with the landowners to buy it off him. The turbine was constructed and disguised as a lighthouse that sports a Westinghouse rotating beacon that casts a beam of light that can be seen 30 miles away. Mm. That's unobstructed, so that's like however close that next mountain is, mm-hmm. that's how far you can see it.
Yeah.
So they built a wind turbine and then disguised it as this lighthouse. So the lighthouse has some sort of function to it.
Sly little devils.
I know. But people have been asking, we're like, oh, what's this lighthouse doing in West Virginia? Mm-hmm. And it was literally built on a joke.
Yeah.
But serves this like weird turbine mm-hmm. purpose.
Which it's also strange that it's not at the Somersville Lake in the game.
Yeah, it was. Yeah,
it's. I guess. I mean, like, I don't really know what their purpose was for not putting it there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, what was their purpose for even erecting it in the first place? This is the only place that I'm really talking about that happened, like, from the year 2000 and on. Like,
yeah.
This was a 2000. This started. The idea was concocted in 2012.
Yeah.
That was, like, what? 7 years? Nope. Yeah. 6 years ago?
Probably one of the newest places on, I guess, in the game.
You'd
probably.
Expect lighthouses to be, like, ye olden thing, because guess what, you know?
Yeah.
We have like radar and cell phones and GPS.
They're not really as like necessary anymore.
Correct. So, number three on the list, the Pumpkin House. Are you familiar with the Pumpkin House?
I'm very familiar with the Pumpkin House.
So let me give you a little bit of history, and then let me get your hot take afterwards. Yes. So Rick Griffith was and is the owner and operator of Griffith and Feel Drugstore in Canova, West Virginia.
Griffith and File. And I must say, that is one of my favorite places in the world to eat.
Really? Is it good?
Oh, I've never been. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And it's not expensive. And it's like an authentic soda fountain. So they have like their soda is, it touches your soul when you drink it. Uh-huh. But they have burgers that I always get the burger and they put it on Texas toast. Mm. Oh, man. It's cool. And it's just like a really old building.
Mm.
And it's just very historic, and you feel like you're in like the 1920s stepping into it. It's just very old timey. Everyone's really nice. I had a buddy that actually worked there, but it is awesome. The whole city of Canova is super sweet.
So what you're telling me is I have competition.
I mean, I'm not gonna say like because they don't have like the whole like cannibalism side to their business. So
they're
like,
not out at Point Pleasant harvesting Mothman eggs.
I can't
eggs.
Say that they have Mothman eggs either.
But they do have really
good... Or cranberry
good.
Pies. But they have some pretty awesome drinks and some really good burgers. They have other things other than burgers, too. Yeah. But then, yeah, it is also... They have, like, a pharmacy. Like, it's an actual drugstore. Mm-hmm. And it's a cool place. Like, I definitely, if you're traveling on 64 through that area, I recommend stopping there. Because they were closed for a while. Yeah. I think they had shut down.
Mm.
And then they reopened within the last, I think, 10 years.
Is it kind of like the drugstore down in Bluefield, Virginia?
Yeah, sort of. But it's way more like old-timey.
Okay.
Like, that one's like old-timey. Timey but too. This is like, Griffith and File is like real old-timey.
Real old-timey.
Yeah, it's a cool experience. So they have like,
I'd have to go.
Yeah, you would enjoy it. I think you would like it a lot. I mean, and it's right down the street from the
Pumpkin
House. I can
get some ideas.
Yeah.
You know, I'll get some ideas.
You got to kind of scope the competition.
Right, exactly.
See what they're doing.
Yes.
And then bring those ideas home.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's a collaboration of information. Yeah. So in 1978, this Rick Griffith fellow began displaying carved Halloween pumpkins in the window of his drugstore. The first year, he just had 4 pumpkins. Rick eventually moved into a Queen Anne-style house on Beach Street and upped his ante to display 500 carved pumpkins. By the year 2000, several volunteers had been roped into carving and displaying 2,000 pumpkins in front of the Griffith family house. And that's each year. Like, they kept continually up their ante.
Yeah.
Once the number reached 3,000, which is the number of residents in Canova, West Virginia, volunteers demanded that the number get no higher, which has since been the quota every year for pumpkins carved. The house is completely free to visit and is the ultimate Halloween photo op.
I I tried to take a girl on a date there several years ago when I was still a student at Marshall. Uh-huh. And we got there a little bit before, like, it was like just as it was supposed to be opening that night. Mm-hmm. I drove within like a mile each direction of the house trying to find a parking spot. It was impossible. You could hardly drive even because there were so many people walking around to get to it. It is very popular around here. Like, it's insane. That's why I think it's awesome they actually put it in the game. Like, it's because it's, I feel like in Bluefield, I never heard about it.
No.
It's not like it's a statewide, like, everyone in the state
until
necessarily knows about
here
it.
And saw people posting photos. I was like, where the heck are all these carved pumpkins coming from?
I think
it was like, oh, pumpkin house.
Yeah, exactly. I think with social media, like Instagram and Twitter especially now, like, people want, and I was actually probably more so Instagram, people want that, like, that Instagram photo. Like, they want
that.
So then that
is the same in Fought, you know, you gotta go down there, you gotta get your nice little photo.
Yeah, exactly. And like, I think it got a little bit bigger, but growing up, never heard about it. And then I got to Marshall and it you know, every Halloween, it was the big thing. You go see the pumpkin house. Cause I mean, and it's only 15 minutes from campus. It's not far. So it's just right there. And it's right on the Ohio River, like right there on the banks of the river. So have you been to it before?
I've been to Canova plenty of times. Yeah. Never been to the house.
It's pretty cool.
I've seen the house.
Yeah.
Not when it had pumpkins at it.
Yeah, you've driven by it, though. Mm-hmm. It's a cool house, too. It's a really sweet-looking house.
Now, that's saying I've seen a bunch of photos of the house.
Oh, yeah.
I know that this year they had Fallout 76 pumpkins at the house. I've seen the photos of people carving 76.
There were several that I saw that were Fallout inspired.
Because it's like volunteers...
Yeah.
Carving. It's not just like this one dude that carves them all.
Right. When I work...
He's not Santa Claus of pumpkins.
I used to work at Fifth Third Bank in Canova. Mm-hmm. Well, not... I wasn't based at that Canova branch. I was based over across the river in Ashland. But they would sometimes have me work there in Canova. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's like... I mean, even when it's not around Halloween, you would still hear people talking about it. Like, it's a big deal.
Well, it's like a community activity that everybody gets involved in.
Yeah. Canova's a very tight-knit community, I feel like. Everyone seems to know everyone. And
yeah.
Which is cool. And yeah, it's sweet, man. It's something that like I recommend everyone should experience at some point in their lives.
I frequent the pumpkin house in the game because there's a daily quest connected to it where have you tried the daily quest for that?
I have not.
So it is a quest where you go and collect 10 pumpkins for this robot that the owner of the house set up to make pumpkins. Yeah. Collect 10 pumpkins for him. He gives you, I think, radioactive pumpkin seeds to which you can fuse with fragmentation grenades to make pumpkin grenades.
That's pretty cool.
Which turns you into essentially the Green Goblin of Fallout
76. You're Norman Osborn at that point.
And it's one of the best grenades because when you throw it, not only does it have a nice damage, it's like the damage like continually hurts them for like 5 seconds after the grenade
has been
thrown. So. Little interesting tidbit. I like to do that. I do explosives and grenades because I think it's fun to almost kill myself half the time. I live in the edge every day.
Yeah. You woke up feeling dangerous.
That's true. My fourth one on the list is Uncanny Caverns, or as we know them, Lost World Caverns. Mm-hmm. Have you ever been to Lost World Caverns?
I actually haven't. I've been by there a million times. Mm-hmm. I've just never actually been there.
I've been there within the past, I guess it's been 2 years ago that I went there. So I have some information on that. It is located just outside of Lewisburg, West Virginia, like in the game. Imagine that geographically right near. Guess what it's near also? The Greenbrier.
Yeah.
Guess what it's near in the game? The Greenbrier. This is crazy. I'm telling you what.
It's wild.
It's wild time. The cave was originally named the Grapevine Cave, and the only known entrance was a vertical hole which farmers would dump trash and dead livestock into. Mm-hmm. Virginia Polytechnic Institute, also known as Virginia Tech. Oh, yeah. Virginia Tech, boy.
I'm not going to talk about this right now.
So, fun fact. You ready for an aside here? They misspelled Virginia Polytechnic Institute. They called it Polytechnical Institute. Not a thing. Mm-hmm. I went in Wikipedia, and I changed it. Like, I went to the edit Wikipedia.
You were that guy today. You had time.
In fact, they just had Virginia Polytechnical Institute. I put Virginia Polytechnic Institute and State University because that's the name of the freaking establishment.
I respect that.
So they actually discovered the cave in 1942, the full like cave, and surveyed the cave throughout the 50s and 60s to find over a mile of interconnected passages that reached 245 feet below sea level. And this is like up in the mountains. So that's like a big freaking deal. That's like going deeper down through the mountain, under the mountain, under the sea level.
Yeah.
It's also very cold there. In 1970, a walking entrance was dug out, and shortly after, Bob Addis set the Guinness Book of World Records for stalagmite sitting, staying atop the Wartop Formation for 15 days, 23 hours, and 34 minutes. He was assisted by Bob Liebman, who would send him buckets of supplies of things to eat, as well as lifting his waist back up for disposal. The Greenbrier East High School Marching Band provided in-cave fanfare for Bob's final descent and shaky return to solid land. So imagine that. You sit on this stalagmite, for 16 days.
Yeah.
The local band, the local marching band, waddles their way down into a cave with, like, tubas and all and gives you this, like, Heroes Parade.
Can we talk also, though, about how he couldn't have made it, what, another 26 minutes to make it 16 full days? 26 minutes. 26.
I don't know. I'd be out after, like, 10 minutes.
What exactly was he doing? I don't understand.
He originally just wanted to do it. There was no Guinness Book of World Records back then. He just wanted to do it.
What was he doing, though? Like, I don't understand.
Sitting on setting a record for sitting on a slag.
Just sitting there.
Just sitting. And so he could, like, talk to people or, like, do anything, like, except stand up and leave.
I wonder, like, did they leave him there by himself at night? Like,
no. They had, like, it was, like, a community event. Like, he was essentially the Stoop Kid.
It would be, this would be like the biggest like live stream event if it was now.
Like, if it happened now, it'd be like the big, it'd be like Shia LaBeouf performance art.
Yeah, it would be like live streamed.
But like back in the day, it was like Stoop Kid's afraid to leave the stoop. Stoop Kid's afraid to leave the stoop kind of situation where it was just like this guy.
He's just sitting there. It's like when a panda is birthed now. Like they live stream or like a giraffe or a hippo or... What a time. You ever think about that, like, old, like events throughout history? Like, what if they would have happened when, like, Facebook and Twitter were around? Like, how different things would be? It's kind of scary to think about.
I don't know. I didn't make that connection by the guy sitting on the stalagmite. I can say that. So, in 1992, several years
ago, this is my favorite part.
Weekly World News reported that Lost World Caverns was the home of Bat Boy, and that he was captured in the caverns by the FBI. So who is Bat Boy, do you ask? Is Bat Boy? Bat Boy is a half-human, half-bat, who was frequently captured by the U.S. government, but always creates a daring escape. His caretaker is Dr. Ron Dillon, and is constantly hunted by Matthew Damon, SOS, which is like his like surname, which the surname stands for Seeker of Obscure Supernaturals.
Matt Damon just doing the Lord's work.
Yep. Bat Boy is either 2 feet 6 inches or 5 feet tall. He sheds his wings every 3 years and regenerates a new pair. His diet consists of insects.
Yeah.
This story was, of course, made up by one of the United States tabloids, like, back in the day, and was adapted into an off-Broadway musical in 1997.
I used to love going to, like, the local grocery stores in Bluefield and seeing the most, like, random picture, just Photoshop picture of Bat Boy on the front. Like, it was always black and white. Like, the whole newspaper was black and white, and it was just, like, there'd be Bat Boy. There would be some like obscure celebrity story about like Bill Clinton actually being a reptile, and they had the proof to show. And then like at the time, it was like Prince was found to be a serial killer, and he's going to prison. And like
Prince George is a serial killer, and he killed the Queen. And
the scandal is out. Read now, like and like as a kid,
yes,
I was like, what?
Like, I'd see this, we're in a checkout, and at the time, I'm, you know, I'm like 7 or 8. I'm like, there's a Bat Boy in West Virginia? Like, so, like, I remember one time we went to the library. This was, this was when the library, everybody, like, you go to the library, you get on the internet. Like, that was like, oh, man, they have these high-speed computers, and we can do this. And, like, I would always look up Bat Boy. Because, like, at the house, like, our computer was so slow, I couldn't get anything to it. So I would, like, research Bat Boy. I was like, this is real. Like, this is a real thing. And then, like, one day it finally clicked. I was like, this isn't real. I was like, man, Tom Cruise didn't kill the president.
That crazy fool. It was interesting because I was reading this article that Vice had put out where they had interviewed the guy that created him, and he was talking about how, like, satirical news, like, and everybody knew that they were making stuff up. Like, he was a writer. He wrote narratives, and he, like, drew this character, and, like, it was very widely known that they were not trying to put on the front for anybody. It was just completely accepted. But people really thrived off that. And it was interesting for him talking about how in the old days they used to attack anybody. Mm-hmm. Like, like they would call, like in today's, they would call, well, like Donald Trump a reptile, but they'd also call Nancy Pelosi
a reptile. Anybody.
Like, it didn't matter. And it was interesting talking, like listening to him talk about how, like, back in the day, it used to be fun, but now even satirical news has gotten pretty one-sided. Like, you're either like hidden from, like, there's always some gain, even within like Onion.
There's
articles
a bias
or something with that.
Which so, they kind of were like, I guess they sort of paved the way for the Onion, I would think, because the Onion is I don't think they would have been around in the late '90s.
No, they essentially Weekly World News was like a very famous, but also like a progenitor to a lot of this stuff because all of their stuff was like the most outlandish stuff. Like, they had sagas for Bat Boy. Yeah. It was like essentially like,
it was like every week you saw
like a
something.
Penny Dreadful. Mm-hmm. Like every week there was some sort of thing. Bat Boy gets captured.
Mm-hmm.
Bat Boy like has affair with there was, and eventually, so like there was Bat Boy stories, and then the paper was bought out by a different company.
Yeah.
And then Bat Boy got political.
Yeah.
And then Bat Boy started supporting like political candidates, and he for a while supported John McCain in his run for president, and then supported Barack Obama in his run for president.
Yeah.
And so like the Bat Boy kind of got warped, and the guy that made him was like really upset that he was like, Bat Boy is not mine anymore. They destroyed my creation.
I remember one, it was like Bat Boy falls in love with Kirstie Alley or something like that. And I was like, what? Like Bat some Boy. Like random actress.
Yes. So it is theory that really he is from Uncanny Caverns, but is disputed. And I think there's another cave in West Virginia that he originates in as well. But one of them is Uncanny Caverns. But he has been captured, like definitive
monthly
proof.
Almost.
Yes, he's definitive just, proof he's been captured in Lost World Caverns, or as we know, Uncanny Caverns. So I remember in Fallout 4, there was a reference to Bat Boy in one of the psychiatrists. And pretty sure. I need to look it up myself, but I think that there is a reference in Fallout 76 to Bat Boy. I haven't explored fully Uncanny Caverns, but I'm going to today, so I challenge you all to go email in your proof of Bat Boy.
Find Bat Boy.
Find Bat Boy.
That's funny. All right, so then I guess we have sort of a few like honorable mentions here.
What you got?
So the first one that I'd sort of included in our list was Dolly Sods, mostly because it's one of my favorite places to go.
Do you like Dolly Sods?
I mean, I don't know if I've told you this before, but it's I like it quite a bit.
Well, it wins the award for most useless workshop in the entire game, producing absolutely zero resources that are useful to me other than just being an area where you can build stuff. And there's always bears there. There's always bears there.
Right. Well, I mean, that's actually fairly accurate, but...
Well, they don't kill me when I go to the real one.
I'm just going to pull... I pulled up a little bit of information because I had more personal experience I was going to talk about. But overall, Dolly Sods is a rocky, high-altitude plateau with sweeping vistas and life forms that are normally found much farther north, mostly like in Canada. I mean, pretty far north to West Virginia. So the trees on the top of Dolly Sods, kind of a backstory here. When you go to Dolly Sods, you can hike from the bottom of the mountain if you want. You can hike anywhere on the mountain. There's several trails. but one of the most popular spots at Dolly Sod's is the Bear Rocks Preserve, which when you come up, if you're coming from like Tucker County, from like Blackwater Falls or the Canaan Valley, you go up the mountain and then you're basically going down the ridge of the mountain for like 12 miles, just a straight dirt road. It's one of the cooler drives in the state because it's very peaceful. It's you're really out there. And you get all the way down the ridge of the mountain and you'll start to notice, since you're on the ridge and it's such a high elevation, most of the trees aren't growing on one side. The wind is pushing those trees so consistently that the branches start to grow on one side as if the wind is pushing the branches.
That's interesting.
Which is kind of cool. Let's see. I remember learning about that in college in one of my classes. We spent like a whole week about Dolly Sod's.
Right.
And about what kind of the science behind that was.
In 76, there are overgrown mutated trees that have grown.
So the name Dolly Sod's derives from an 18th century German homesteading family, the Dahls. I would think that it's D-A-H-L-E-S. We're going to say the Dahls. It was probably some crazy pronunciation. But and then a local term for an open mountaintop meadow, which is sods. So Dolly Sod's comes from that. One of the cooler things I think about Dolly Sod's is... But it's also slightly terrifying, but it's pretty interesting. So during World War II, the United States military had a lot of tests at Dolly Sod's and at Seneca Rocks, which is 20 minutes away. Because of the rocky kind of terrain, it was very similar to Italy.
Yeah.
So to get a lot of the soldiers ready for the hikes and the missions and stuff, they would have tests.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah, they would do the testing at Seneca Rocks and scaling that and at Dolly Sod's. And so today, even today, when you go hiking, there are signs everywhere that tell you do not leave the trail. Because they still find, every year it seems, they find live explosives from World War II out in the trees somewhere. And they have signs, if you see this, report it, don't touch it, leave it. Because people are still finding them here and there.
You'd figure they'd clean up after themselves.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I think that they've spent years searching
to fix it,
but their fear is, well, you can never be 100% sure with how many like thousands of acres there are to explore.
So what you're saying is, when you're exploring 76, it might be worth watching out for fragments.
Yeah, just watch your footing.
Watch your footing.
But it's a cool spot because I've always said that when you go to Dolly Sod's, it feels like you're on a different planet. Mm-hmm. You get up there and it can be 95 degrees at the base of the mountain, and you get up there and you need a hoodie. Like the wind is strong, but not so strong that you're like annoyed. Like it actually normally feels pretty good, and it's just like you're hopping around these rocks. A buddy of mine and I, we went hiking up there at the Bear Rocks Preserve last year, I guess. And it's sort of like a make your own adventure like when you're up there, because there are trails, but you could also just climb on the rocks and you can kind of make your own path through the rocks, which is fun because it's kind of like you can just pick whatever route you want to go, and there's going to be a few challenges, and you kind of go along this ridge. And we found this pretty cool spot. It got a little sketchy, so if you go to Dolly Sod's, be careful because there are a lot of drop-offs that are like 30, 40, 50-foot drop-offs. So definitely like watch out. Like don't be stupid. But there are a lot of cool camping spots up there we found. Like if you really kind of maneuver through, there's like a lot of clearings. And there was like this spot. It was kind of like a canopy. Like it like opened up, but there were trees over it. And it was just this view out, you know, like miles and miles and miles off the side of this cliff that you could just camp up on. It was pretty sweet. So Dolly Sod's. But the thing about it is, along that road down the ridge, there are so many stops. You can just stop, get out, and it's just an overlook.
Yeah,
you're just on this ridge of a mountain.
So it's like a collection of roadside
attractions. Yeah, it's like that's what I love about it. It's like people are like, oh, I don't want to hike. I don't want to do this. Yeah. I don't really want to have that. You really don't have to hike at Dolly Sod's to get the best views.
Get out of your car and walk a few
steps. You drive up, and you can. If you want to hike, you can hike to other views. But if you want just an insane, I think that personally, I think some of the best views in the whole state at Dolly Sod's. And then you can kind of throw in Spruce Knob with it, because Spruce Knob is very similar. Spruce Knob's actually the highest point in the state. And it's,
which is featured in Fallout 76.
Yeah, it's another spot.
And it's advertised as the highest spot
in the
state.
The campground there.
Yeah, yeah.
And they...
Brotherhood of Steel there. Holla out. Ad Victorium.
So Spruce Knob, Dolly Sods, and Seneca Rocks are all within 20, 30 minutes of each other. Mm. They're all right there, Pendleton, Tucker counties. And Spruce Knob and Dolly Sods do have similar, like this rocky terrain, very unique, kind of otherworldly. But again, Spruce Knob, you can drive up and the trail that you hike is just a flat, like quarter of a mile trail.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even call it a trail. It's like a walk. It's like a little, just like a path. Very easy. And I mean, it's just like one of the most easily, like for me as a photographer, it makes my job infinitely easier to get beautiful photos. Like it's anywhere you look. So that's like definitely like roadside attractions, I would say, even though it's not really an attraction, I guess. It's still...
You gotta go a little bit anyway, but it's still...
But it's... I mean, it's free. You don't have to pay to get into the park. You don't have to... I mean, you can just drive right up.
Right.
Yeah, so I'll say those were my honorable mentions. Did you have anything else you wanted to...
No, I kind of... I have this weird thing for roadside... I read... I'll talk more about this. I read American Gods this year. Have you read that? It's a Neil Gaiman novel. And I've always wanted to read it. And it is coming at my second favorite novel of all time. And
what's your first? The Shining?
The Hobbit.
The Hobbit.
I love The Hobbit. It's great. It's
I like, need to read The Hobbit.
But you can relate. You can... It is... like, knowing our backstory of, like, people that come from these, like... It's about this guy who comes from this small town that leaves the town. And he's afraid to leave the town.
Yeah.
And all this like wonderfulness and happiness is having, and he meets all of these weird people, and he's trying to understand like how he fits into this like grand scheme of things. And there are things that are so much bigger than him happening out there, and he is just trying to do his best to play his part. It's very relatable. Yeah, I'll leave it at that.
It's like your freshman year of college.
It's
trying to understand the outside world.
Yeah, you're trying to work through. Anyways. American Gods. I feel like weirdly American about like some stuff, like going to the movies.
Yeah.
Like you can go to the movies anywhere, like in the world. But I don't know. It's just like I feel like that's a very American experience. Like I'm not a very
You're not like overly patriotic.
I'm like alternatively patriotic.
Yeah.
You know,
you're not like diehard, always saying
like there's something like the Fallout aesthetic of like the 50s diner.
Yeah,
that's like particularly American to me.
Yeah,
and like I'm sure people are gonna go. It's like going to the movies to see a blockbuster film. It's like particularly American to me. One of the things that American Gods talks about is roadside attractions and how these places like Rock City that was mentioned in the book, a bunch of stuff like out in the West, and including. Thunderbirds, which are from West Virginia, in the novel are from West Virginia. And just talking about how all of these places are like, to some may seem like just a weird one-off, but it's like, why did somebody decide to place this thing here? Like, why is there a giant teapot here?
Yeah.
Or why did somebody decide, I want to build all these freaking pumpkins at this one location?
Right.
Like there's some like weird spiritualness to it all,
and
that's why it's like I think it's interesting to talk about some of the roadside attractions. It's worth if you were interested in roadside attractions and a fictional story involving America, go read American Gods by Neil Gaiman. I'm still working on the second one, which is Anansi Boys. Haven't gotten to that yet. So Austin, this week we've got one piece of reader mail that I'm gonna read off here. Guess what? These nuts.
Ha, got him.
Just kidding, guys. How you doing? I wanted to write in and let you guys know that I thoroughly enjoy your podcast. It's kept the itch to play Fallout away while I'm trapped at work. Let me tell you, that is why I started this podcast. It's because I was like, I wonder if people that like Fallout 76 like have an actual podcast to listen to while they're at work. At the time, there was none. And I was like, well, then let's do it. Also, I've got to say, with all of your great information about West Virginia, all that folklore and adventuring and Fallout, I'm quite tempted to see old West Virginia with my own eyes on my next vacation. Here's a question for you two. What do you see in the DLC to come? Maybe a certain place in West Virginia that they've kept out, or a folklore monster that they've saved in the back of their pocket. Me, I'm hopeful that there's really unique DLC like Mothership Zeta or Dead Money that gives a new twist to what we've already seen so far. Thanks for everything you do, and I will see you guys in the wasteland. Sincerely, Travis Bartels.
I already know what you want to see.
What do you mean?
You want to see Virginia Polytechnic Institute.
Well, here's... I have three levels. I have three pitches for you today.
Okay.
Do you have anything?
I
what would, do you want to see? Do you want to see Huntington? Do you want to see Marshall?
I would like to see more of Huntington, but I also wouldn't mind... I wouldn't mind sort of having more of a connection to the Capital Wasteland, or I mean, not that they could put the Capital Wasteland in the game. I'm not saying that, but some sort of...
I don't think
of,
they're past that.
Some sort of bridge.
Like in Elder Scrolls Online, they added in the entire Morrowind area, and it's essentially a recreation of all of Elder Scrolls Morrowind, so they're not past it.
I mean, it would be a big task, and I know everyone has been calling for Fallout 3 Remaster, which maybe we'll get one day, but I think
it
would be cool.
Put it on the Switch if they do. Put it on the Switch, and I'll play it. I'll play it every day.
I think
I'm quitting this podcast.
I think it would be cool to either bring early days of the Capital Wasteland in, maybe not the full thing, but maybe some aspects of being able to see maybe bits and pieces of DC.
Yeah.
Because it's not far away at all, especially if you're in Harper's Ferry. Think about that. That's people commute from Harper's Ferry to DC in real life.
If I had to work in DC, I would actually live in Charleston or Charlestown.
Charlestown or like
or Harper's Ferry.
Because I mean, you can ride like a train down.
Yep.
You can be in DC in an hour.
Just get my Prius and I'll ride over there.
Yeah.
I don't have a Prius, but if I live there,
I had a buddy that worked in Nova and he lived right. I mean, he drove it every day.
Nova.
But when you think about it, they could do that. Or even if they have. They bring the Pit back into it, and maybe you get to see more of Pittsburgh at an early stage. I think that they have the basis for other things that they could easily tie into this game. Mm. I mean, Virginia Tech, Marshall, I think that would be cool to see maybe more of, even if they pull in Blacksburg or Huntington or add more of Huntington. Mm. I think there's a lot of options they could do, but I think just maybe a little bit more to explore outside of West Virginia would be cool.
I think so. I've talked about my two larger pitches before on the show, talking about adding in Virginia Tech with the connection of synths with MIT and essentially how robots are so big in West Virginia, you could add in synths by way of Virginia Tech because they have a similar structure and lineup to MIT and compete with them all the time. So it would make sense that they would be producing synths. And then you could utilize some of the like lore and history of Southwest Virginia, which there's a lot of that too. I've also talked about including Kentucky and the bourbon trails, and that's one way of introducing mounts into the game as horses. Mm-hmm. And how they I've talked about this before about like having like food and water meters for them and that allows you faster travel with the horses and all that stuff.
Who knows? Maybe more folklore would be cool.
I have two good pitches for you.
Let's hear the pitches.
There's one small one and one big one. Okay. Small one. Easy one. I put this on Twitter the other day.
Yeah. I think you probably
read it. Yeah. An event.
Yes.
An event goes off. There are five Scorched Beasts. Five of them. Mm-hmm. Attacking Watoga.
Okay.
The town obviously has an automated system. They come in the intercom. They're like, it is a state of emergency in Watoga. We have unlocked the special station for people to defend Watoga. What do they need to do? Well, guess what? Automatic Mining Services makes their home in Watoga. It is developed in conjunction with Robco, who's like the big robot people and everything. Also a big mineral extraction area. They're trying to develop these... prototypes to help with the mining, help with the different stuff. So what do you have to do? Well, first of all, guess what? Fallout 76 is a resource gathering game. You gather resources and you start building pieces to a robot. You start constructing this robot piece by piece. So you do your arm. You got like left arm, right arm, left leg, right leg, torso, head. You're constructing the prototype Liberty Prime.
Yes, I did see that you did that.
And so, like, collectively, like, the event is collecting resources, so it'll be, like, a bunch of steel and, like, some circuitry or, like, some... Like, you could easily source from places in Watoga to collect and get. And like the robots all have steel in the loom, so you could just like kill robots in Watoga to come and get them. You construct that. Now, the thing is, it's like lore-wise, how does that make sense? Because there was only, well, David, there was only one Liberty Prime, and it was at the Pentagon. Well, guess what? They had to prototype it. Yeah. They didn't have it built. They had the plans, though.
Right.
That's why they had the workstation there.
Okay.
So that you could build it. But then you say, oh, well, you know what? They had a problem powering it. That was the whole reason they got Dr. Lee to do it. Well, guess what? It's an event. After 5 minutes of Liberty Prime killing all the five Scorch Beasts, you know, it explodes because it has power issues.
I think that's a winner.
So it's like a community event. You go, people would get excited to build Liberty Prime, have him throw nuclear bombs out his backpack, use the laser, and like just dab on the communists.
And then like spontaneously combust.
And then blow up at the end of it. That would be like,
that would be cool.
As he's walking around the city, flying, like essentially you would. It would be Power Rangers or Evangelion or something. Yeah. Crazy.
I think
like
that would be cool to see, though. I mean, I think that's definitely a cool idea.
My second pitch is a much deeper one.
Okay.
You find a note.
A gnome?
A note.
A note.
A note. Talking about essentially this family feud between the Hatfields and McCoys. Mm-hmm. The Hatfields live over up near Harper's Ferry. No, excuse me. Hatfields in this story live down near. Beckley Exhibition Mine. Mm-hmm. They're down there. The McCoys live up near Harper's Ferry.
Okay.
Turns out these two families have been living on since the war. Mm-hmm. The one thing that they've been trying to protect this treasure the whole time. Mm-hmm. You start to realize that these notes and stuff that the family, as you go by exploring the locations, tracking down members of the Hatfield McCoy family across all of West Virginia. Mm-hmm. You're tracking down the members of each of their respective families.
Right.
You're realizing that the notes themselves are dating farther than any of the other notes you've had. Almost up to the current time that the game is set. Mm-hmm. The last notes are just for two last members of the family. Mm-hmm. And they each have their own motivations.
Yeah.
And they die in a shootout one day before the vault doors open. Over, guess what? In the middle of the Savage Divide, there has been hidden this whole time a distillery. Once you complete the quest of tracking down the family members, then a special workshop is open for you where you can then claim it and produce alcohol. Only thing is, you have to associate with either the Hatfields and McCoys.
I know who you would choose. I mean, family.
So then it becomes, who owns a distillery? Is it the Hatfield players or is it the McCoy players? Because then, after reading their stories, a feud, they have to pick a side.
Then there's a feud continued.
The feud continues.
I just pictured dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-
them standing across from each other with Steve Harvey between them. I don't know why.
So that creates special, not only a new workshop and like a new, like a pretty easily implemented system of producing alcohol. Like you really could set it up like you would do the food processing center.
Yeah.
You also create this like meta narrative
and like more factions almost.
It's more competitive than like the Brotherhood of the Responders, or like they want to include this faction PvP, and I think that'll be interesting, but it's very direct and it's over one location. So you're going to be seeing players.
Yeah, you'll see
helping like fortifying this area, but also them attacking this area. Like, a very particular.
That would be pretty cool. I actually like that idea a lot.
So there's like outside of big DLC, I think that there's ways to include. Like, and the first one I have is like an event. This one is more like a full-on quest that you can go on.
Right.
I think that there's ways to incorporate more stuff going into the future. Yeah.
I like that a lot. I like the idea. I like both of your ideas, actually. But the only other thing I could think that would be kind of cool is a little bit more UFO stuff. Maybe a little more of an explanation. of what is going.
Have you been into any of the TNT bunkers?
No.
So there's in this one bunker, you find plans for alien blaster cells. There's a cryopod that has something frozen in it. Something is in there.
Yeah, so they've got maybe something in the works now already.
The Flatwoods monster's in the game.
Yeah, and that's kind of extraterrestrial. I mean, that's,
I mean, it is extraterrestrial.
Yeah, there's something.
Something is going on. Something I wouldn't going be on. Surprised.
Yeah. I don't know. I was thinking like the Operation Anchorage type stuff, but with online, I don't really know how they would be able to pull that off without NPCs and without, I mean, they could maybe make an exception for that possibly.
Cool.
I don't know.
Chinese.
Yeah. I'm excited to see what they do.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
So Austin, for next week, what are we going to do next week? Guess what? We're not doing anything because we'll be on break. This is just a second reminder that we are not having a podcast next week, but the week after that, we probably will. So, as for today, that's it. Don't forget to email us your questions at VaultBoysWV and check us out on social media at VaultBoysWV and tell your friends. From Holler to Highway, we've got you covered 6 ways to Sunday. Tune in next week for more talk radio on your favorite Appalachian station, and may the merriest Mothman bless you as you travel these country roads.
It's like that thing, like the, was it the Lewis Black joke where he's talking about, he was like, one day you hear, everything's fine. And then one day you hear, there was a bear just shitting in people's yard, or there was a bear running around doing all this stuff. And then it was like, and then the next morning the bear's in your front yard just shitting in your yard. We'll cut that one because I fucked the joke up. Cut all that. So we'll stop at, I had not heard about it, and then I heard about it. I saw it everywhere. We'll cut right there. So you're, we're going to make a whole bunch of noise so that, so that we see this on the thing.
Okay. Well, now I know what's going in at the end for real.
All right. I'm really glad we're not live right now.
So
back to it.